From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and this is your episode for Wednesday, May 9th. We are going to be talking about several different things today. The Chiefs signed some new rookies from their tryout period in training camp or in rookie mini camp. That also means that they will be having some moves that will be coming in the next day or two to release guys that were under contract. We don't know yet who that's going to be and if they're going to be guys that were college free agents that they signed or somebody that was already on the roster that they decided they're going to sign. Also have the first draft pick signing. And we're going to take a look at the Chiefs' schedule moving forward. So that is what we're going to be looking at today. And there might be a couple more small things thrown in there as well. I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Thank you all for taking a look at that website. A lot of great content there. We have a new guy that is writing about and going to be doing scouting reports for us. His first one was on Anthony Hitchens. I think he did a phenomenal job. If you haven't seen it, you need to go check that out on LockedOnChiefs.com. And Reagan Cresswell is his name. He did a fantastic job on it. He is an alum from the Scouting Academy, and he's also going to be doing another breakdown on Sammy Watkins next. So that will be coming out shortly. Take a minute. Thank you all for all of the iTunes reviews. Those really do mean a lot to Ryan and I. We still have a 5-star rating, and we're closing in on, I think, 250 reviews. So thank you all. That, like I said, that really does mean a lot to us. So we appreciate that a lot. If you haven't already, go check out RGR Football on YouTube. Ryan is doing a phenomenal job doing YouTube videos. It's going to cover mostly Chiefs things, although I think he's also going to mix in the other NFL things from time to time. This YouTube video that he just did is about what the trade that Kansas City tried to make with Cleveland that ended up falling through. We still do not know what caused it to fall through. More than likely, it was injury related to Daddy Nicklaus. But what does that trade mean for Kansas City moving forward? What does that mean for offensively and defensively? And Ryan took a great look at that. Personally, I think that what that trade means is, you know, you look at what they're trying to bring in Telfer. He is a blocking tight end. He's somebody that they don't have on the roster right now. I believe he got claimed by the Colts. So he is not going to be somebody that's going to be in Kansas City because Cleveland ended up waiving him. And I didn't hear that Daddy Nicklaus got picked up on waivers. So I think he's still a free agent, which makes sense if he is not able to clear waivers if he didn't clear waivers because he's injured. So he may end up being headed back to injured reserve for Kansas City. We will see where that goes. It's going to be, we are moving into the dead part of the offseason. NFL draft happened obviously a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago almost. And Kansas City didn't have a first round pick. Took Brilliant Speaks in the second round. So Kansas City picked almost 2 weeks ago their first player. That brings me back to also what it means for them to trade Daddy Nicklaus. Because if you look at Breland Speaks and what they say he's going to be, which is an outside linebacker, that is a lot more size at outside linebacker than they've had on the roster before Veach started drafting and that we knew he was a big player in the draft last year. They went out and they got Tano Passanio. They played him at defensive end a little bit, but they also played him at outside linebacker. That is a lot more size at outside linebacker than Kansas City, like I said, is used to having. So to me, that also means that Daddy Nicklaus doesn't necessarily fit what they want to do. So it makes sense that they try to trade him. Trying to get Telfer, you try to get a tight end that can help you block, gives you somebody that can come in and play in a two tight end set. And he may not be much of a pass-catching threat, but he is going to be somebody that can help you run the ball. Kansas City did sign their first rookie. Their sixth-round pick, the CB out of Central Arkansas, Smith, signed his rookie deal. So he is going to be, obviously, in camp on time. really, to me, what this means is that there is not going to be any issues with how things are going to play out with the Chiefs draft class this year. Obviously, most picks or all picks are really slotted, so contracts are there's not much to haggle over or negotiate. At this point, Kansas City not having a first-round pick actually kind of helps them when it comes to signing their guys, because when you see most of the holdouts or most of the guys that take a while to sign, it's usually the first-round picks. So I would expect that maybe by mid-June at the very latest, if not even before June 1st, that Kansas City could have all six of their picks signed and ready to go. I think that's going to be good for them. Get Breland Speaks in here, get him really into the defense, and get him really acclimated, get him as much as you can ready to play. I don't think he's going to be a starter this year, but I do think that he has some pass rush moves that will help, and he's going to be able to kick inside on third and long, and maybe you can get Dee Ford and Justin Houston Speaks in all at the same time. That to me would be a win for Kansas City, because they need more pass rush, especially considering they don't have a great CB core right now. A lot of questions in that area of the team.
As of this recording, you have three guys that were signed to rookie free agent deals after the rookie mini camp ended. You have Malik Reeves, who is a DB. He is going to be competing there. You also have a guy in Karomo, who is a center from BYU. It is a position that they definitely need more depth. Right now they have Morse, they have Irving, and they have Debbie. So Karomo is going to be the fourth center, and that is definitely something that they need. And then you also have another guy in McCray. He is a linebacker. And right now those are the three signings that Kansas City has done after the rookie minicamp is over with. That does mean that there are going to be some additional moves that are going to have to be made. They're going to have to make some cuts, whether or not that's actually going to be players that are on the roster right now or they're college free agents that they signed afterwards. We will find out in the near future, but at this time we do not know that. So we will see with those signings. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, so here's what we have moving forward on the Chiefs' schedule. We are going to be looking at Phase 3. Well, they just finished Phase 2, which ended with the rookie mini camp. They're headed into Phase 3. Phase 3 is going to include three OTA sessions, which are May 22nd through the 24th, May 29th through the 31st, and June 5th through the 8th. And they're going to have mandatory minicamp June 12th through the 14th. So at this point, I believe that they will have all of their draft picks signed. They may have all of them signed by the first OTA session that they have up on May 22nd. I really don't think that there's going to be anybody that's really going to give them trouble signing. Like I said, you don't have a first round pick. You don't have anything that you're really arguing over at this point or trying to get out of contracts at this point. Everything is pretty much cut and dry. And when you get down in the second round, it definitely is more cut and dry than other places. The one other thing I really wanted to talk about, and we are a long way from seeing how this is going to play out and how this is going to change things in Kansas City moving forward. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback moving forward for Kansas City. He is going to be the starter this year. You have a veteran backup, and then I think, like I said, you're going to have Chase Litton. But over the weekend, it was announced that Matt Ryan signed a new contract, and he hit 5 years, $150 million, or $30 million a year. That is significant because, yes, you're still at least 2 years away from being able to give Patrick Mahomes a new deal. Obviously, he would have to play phenomenally over the next 2 years for him to be worth anything like that. But where I'm going with this is that this is really going to change the quarterback market over the next couple of years. You're going to see another QB probably get close to $35 million in Aaron Rodgers. And at that point, the question becomes, is he really the market himself, or are you going to be having QBs get even more than that? Maybe he doesn't get 35, but I'm guessing he's going to at least get 32, 33, maybe even 34. And he may get 35. He is the best quarterback in football, in my opinion. He does not have the team surrounding him. But the problem that Aaron Rodgers runs into, and this is why it becomes so important for Kansas City to compete very well over the next 2 years, is because you're looking at a scenario where you're not paying a QB a ton of money so you can go out and get him the best team available around him. And I think that's part of the reason that Kansas City blitzed on offense for the most part this year and really went all out on offense, trying to get more pieces to put around Pat Mahomes, you know, get him Sammy Watkins. That's going to be a dynamic duo with him and Tyreek Hill. Now you have a guy, and don't get me wrong, I hope they both stay healthy for all 16 games. But now you have a guy that can be that speed threat if something does happen to Hill, or if something happens to Watkins, you still have Hill. The only place that Kansas City is really going to be hurting offensively is going to be if something happens to Travis Kelce. That's why you would hope that they are able to go in and get another guy that can maybe come in and help. There's a name that actually got released on Monday from the Saints in Kobe Fleener, who I think would be a great pickup at this point. He's not going to command a lot of money, and he's going to want a one-year deal so he can have a prove-it deal. Now, granted, I don't think he's going to come to Kansas City, mainly because this is not a great situation for him. He's not going to come and he's not going to start. So he's going to have a hard time getting a big deal next year. But I think he could help this offense. And I think he's not Travis Kelce. Obviously, nobody is. But, you know, you're going to need another pass-catching tight end, in my opinion. And right now, I don't know that you can bet on Harris being that guy. Obviously, he had a good game when Mahomes started in Denver. But I don't think you want to count on him. And then you look at running back, and they're stacked at running back. You know, Matt and I talked about this on Monday's episode, I believe, you know, or actually maybe it was Tuesday's episode, where you're looking at Charcandrick West and wondering, yeah, and I know we wondered this last year if he was going to make the roster, but I really don't know that he is going to this year. You look at who they have, Kerwin Williams, Damian Williams, maybe Spencer Ware isn't healthy and he's not going to be back at the beginning of the year. And that'll open up another spot. But then you still have Kareem Hunt, who led the NFL in rushing his rookie year. That's a lot of talent at running back. And Kerwin Williams and Damian Williams are going to be giving you different things that, to me, Charcandrick West can't. Damian Williams is a fantastic receiver out of the backfield. West is good, but he doesn't have the size of Damian Williams, and I don't think he has the speed either. So I think that there is going to be a very good competition at running back. It's going to be hard for them to keep more than three or four because you have depth at all the other positions at this point. Four is probably going to be very hard to keep, especially since you're going to be keeping Anthony Sherman, which I get that you need to keep him because of special teams and because you want a fullback. That becomes even more important if you don't have a blocking tight end, which it doesn't look like Kansas City is going to have this year, unless they could find somebody that is not currently on the roster that could come in and help with that blocking. And I don't think there's anybody out there that they can really count on to do that. Let's take another quick break and we will be back. All right. A couple of quick notes and we will be done for the day. Andy Reid did talk to the media on Monday and it was announced that Armani Watts has a shoulder bruise. They kept him out as a precaution. To me, it seems a little strange that they are holding somebody out for a bruise. I would not think that is something that is going to be an issue moving forward. So hopefully they're just expecting that he's going to be available for OTAs and he'll be fully practicing for those. So we will see on that going forward. One of the other things that Coach Reed talked about is he talked about how Elliott Berry looks exactly like his brother. If you look at them on the football field, there's a lot of similarities, obviously size and stature, but he doesn't have the talent of his brother. He's also a tweener. He doesn't really have a specific position. He's more of a linebacker safety hybrid, kind of like a Dorian O'Daniel. So we will see how that turns out. I don't expect him to get an offer from Kansas City at this point. It would be a great story for him to go to training camp with his brother. I just don't see it happening. It does look like, of the brothers that Cleveland got, Evan, and he's obviously going to be going to training camp with them at this point, unless something changes at rookie minicamp. You know, it's great to see them bring in Elliott and give him an opportunity, give him some tape, get him an opportunity for other teams to hear about what he did and have other scouts or sorry, have other people in the Chiefs organization be able to tell people what they saw, because I'm sure the league talks whether or not he's going to be able to play. We will see going forward. It would have been nice if they could have brought both brothers in, but I understand why Evan was able or went to Cleveland, but it's still a nice story to see one of Eric Berry's brothers here. You know, when it comes to the rest of this roster and how things are going to shake out, I still think, like Matt and I talked about, I think that Kansas City is going to have to find some more linemen, not necessarily for the roster per se, and maybe one of them makes the roster, but really for training camp, generally speaking, you want to have at least three full units to play offensive line. You know, especially in preseason and training camp. So you're going to want at least 15 to 16, 17, maybe even 18 linemen. They don't have that right now. So they're going to have to scour the wire to find that. You would think that they're going to find a couple more just so they can get to at least 15 and get that number taken care of. So they have those guys and they have them available. We will see how that shakes out over the next week or so. I would imagine that there will be some more transactions coming. Positions for Kansas City fans to look at. Again, blocking tight end, I think, is a position that they need to be bringing more people in. Offensive line is another position they need to be bringing more people in. And really, I'm talking more backwards depth, because I don't think at this point in the season you're going to find great free agents out there. But it wouldn't shock me. Free safety, I don't think that they're going to go out and look at a guy like Eric Reed or Trey Boston at this point, because they would have done that before the draft. And I think with Armani Watts in the picture, they're not going to go that direction now. But I could see it happening if they really feel like they need another safety. And both of those guys and any of the safeties that are out there that didn't get long-term deals, they're going to want one-year deals, prove-it deals anyway. So maybe that's a possibility. But if you do that, you're definitely releasing Daniel Sorensen. I can't imagine, like Matt and I talked about, there's no way that they're going to keep Sorensen and have him being a backup and a special teams guy, $5 million a year. You just can't afford that. It's not a luxury you can have in the NFL. You know, when you look at other positions, you wish that there was another corner. I really don't see that happening. But maybe it's possible that Brett Veach is able to find some more trades that he can make. You know, I don't have any great names right now, just because I never would have imagined Reggie Ragland would be available getting ready to head into the season last year. I don't see that they're going to have anything before training camp, which opens in late July. Any more trades going on, at least, you know, that are going to bring in quality players that are really going to reshape, you know, different positions on the roster. But, you know, Veach has been aggressive, so maybe he's able to go out there and find something or somebody. This is a great time for, you know, guys like I said, Kobe Fleener got released. And I would imagine there's going to be a couple more veterans that are going to be finding themselves without a job over the next couple of weeks because of guys that got drafted or rookie free agents and guys that got drafted. So it's going to be a combination of the two. That is the show for today.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.